If you take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the 90th Psalm. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 in Psalm 90. It's the oldest of the Psalms, the Psalm of Moses. It's a reflection of Moses' life. And God gives him these words to pen in Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They're as a sleep in the morning. They're like grass which groweth up in the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away. In thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. If you're in the habit of marking things or emphasizing things in your Bible, I want you to underline, if you would please, the closing part of the 9th verse. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Every one of us has a story to tell. A story to tell about our lives. I had every intention to go into some detail, not great detail, but some detail about my life, but I'm going to limit what I'm going to say because of the circumstances here and just give you the abbreviated version of some things. Our lives begin. We trace a birth date, mine, October the 10th, 1948, to the Baptist Hospital in Selma, Alabama. And then to the home of two great aunts who influenced my life, Aunt Maddie and Aunt Fanny, dedicated Christians who loved the Lord, who liked talking about God, singing hymns about God, and praying and letting us know they were praying for us. They lived in a lot of misery. Their children were not serving the Lord. They both served the Lord in the Central Baptist Church in Selma, just a couple of blocks from where they lived. And they wanted everybody to be there, everybody to go there. And often I remember as a little boy being taken to the Central Baptist Church. And my mother actually taught in a Sunday school class there as a teacher's aide helping children. But I had a beginning. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I had no choice about where I'd be born, no choice about to whom I'd be born, no choice about where I'd live when I was born, but God was in charge. The Bible says in the book of Colossians in the New Testament, in the very first chapter, that God is before all things. He goes on to say, and by him all things consist, all things are held together. Don't ever think that your life is just helter-skelter. Don't ever think that you didn't have the privileges that other people have, because there's a God in heaven who is the Creator God, who works in our lives, who superintends things, and we trust Him and believe Him. Not only was the Lord the gifter and giver of my life to give me a life to live, He was in the circumstances surrounding my birth. He chose the father I would have, the mother I would have, the relatives I would have, the influences I would have early on, and He timed them perfectly. So then the learning process of my life early on, as a little boy, no matter what I would hear for the rest of my life, no matter what anyone would say to me for the rest of my life, He had dedicated, consecrated Christian people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and loved me in a special way to speak to me and guide me. I couldn't imagine how many days I sat on the porch swing with Aunt Mattie, just swinging and talking, her talking to me. I've told you about one experience when we were sucking on an ice cube instead of a popsicle. We didn't have, but we had the ice cubes. And I sucked the thing all the way through my mouth into my throat. Panicked, thought I was dying, smothering to death. She put her hand on my back. I can still feel her hand. She says, "You're not going to die. Breathe." I took a breath, said, "See, you can breathe. Just be calm. You're going to make it. I know you're frightened, but we'll sit here together. I won't leave you. And that thing will melt and go right down where it's supposed to go. It's just going to take a little time." You know, that's one of the greatest lessons I ever learned in life, and I learned it so very early. Don't panic. God's in control. And God allows all of us to learn certain lessons that work together for our good and His glory. He gives some aims or objectives in our lives in this 90th Psalm. Look at them, please. He says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." We all have a story. Look at the word spend. We spend. I said to a man once, imagine that you had 70. That's 70. Imagine you had $70 and you'd spent. I remember using this so often. You'd spent so many of those dollars and you had just a handful left and you only had 70. You'd be very careful what you do with those 70. And I still believe that. But God wants you to be very careful with what you do as soon as you can choose. Age 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it may be. Look, the Bible says in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I believe it's God's desire that we live a happy life and we find our happiness in Him. And my story, I came to know Christ as my Savior as a 14-year-old. Immediately got concerned about the salvation of my family. Didn't know everything to do about it. Need a lot of help with it. And I'm so thankful more than any other thing in my heart and mind that they know the Lord. And we're going to have eternity together. That's forever together. But our lives will be spent. We spend our days. And they'll finally all be spent up. You know, you'd be amazed when you turn 70 how many people say, or at least try to say nice things to you. Like, for instance, you'll have at least 10 more. And I'm thinking to myself, I know you're trying to be helpful, but don't start putting limitations on what God can do. I don't have the promise of one more, you know? And I know I have an inevitable meeting with the Lord. And after that, the judgment. I have an appointment with death, and so do all of you. But this is a psalm about living. And the Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Do you know that the decisions we make are more important than the days we live? And I want you to understand this so you can pray for me. Really pray for me. I love you and you love me and we're here together and thank God for it. I'd rather be here with you than anywhere else in the world and speaking any other church or any other meeting in the world. Couldn't wait to get back. Spoke last night to a house full of people. They wanted me to bring a keynote message to pastors and that type of thing. But I couldn't wait to get back here. But the decisions we make are more important than the days we live. I could blow everything I've ever lived with one wrong decision. And the decisions at this age could be more impactful than any decisions. I want to receive the full reward the Bible talks about when John wrote. And I could do something in disobedience to God that would eliminate all of that. So you pray that my heart will be applied to wisdom. I'll make wise decisions. I will use the life I have remaining to the wisest, most fruitful purpose. But it will come to an end. Had a beginning, has an end. So what are we going to accomplish? What's the goal or objective for living? And this 90th Psalm reveals that. The Bible says in verse 16, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." May our lives shine forth with the beauty of God. The beauty of God. Not about how I look. All of that's being diminished as we grow older. But there's another beauty that replaces that outward beauty. It's the beauty of the Lord. And it's heart deep. And you can have it and I can have it. The beauty of the Lord. I've been around some people, and so have you, in these days of my journey on earth, who have reminded me so much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their attitude, their outlook, their enthusiasm. That's what the Lord's talking about here. Let the beauty of our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. I don't want all this labor to be in vain. I want the Lord to establish it. And if it's been done by wise decisions for His glory, then the Bible says, if I'm living in His will, it will live and abide forever. I want that. And the work of our hands, establish thou it. I'd like to talk to you someday about the story of my life and give you some of the details. But this is all I want to say at this moment. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?